Well, hello everyone, and welcome to the Healthy Mom Happy Home podcast, where we believe that when moms are healthy and happy, the entire home thrives. I'm Jenna, your host, functional nutritional therapy practitioner and fellow mom on a mission to empower, inspire, and uplift you on your wellness journey. Today, we are talking about one of my favorite subjects. Actually, one of my favorite activities to do daily is sleep. We're going to talk about the importance of sleep. Sleep is not just about closing our eyes and resting. It's actually fundamental to our overall health and impacts everything from our mood to cognitive function, how well your brain works, how quickly you can think, to even just how you feel physically. So in this episode, we're going to dive into understanding our sleep needs, how to create an environment that fosters restorative sleep for the entire family. We're also going to talk through the importance of consistency in sleep schedules and talk through some of the common sleep challenges that are faced by families and moms and, you know, all of the above. So sleep is often, it's often like just so undervalued and overlooked. We live in such a fast-paced society, but it's so important to our overall health. By prioritizing healthy sleep habits, we can enhance our resilience, we can improve our mood, we can even boost our immune system. There's so many good things that happen when we sleep. So let's dive in to the world of sleep and get going and talk through some practical strategies for a restful and rejuvenating night's sleep. So sleep is a vital part of our overall health and well-being, plays a really important role in our physical, our mental, and emotional functioning, really just our ability to function at all. So I want to talk through, first of all, just the amount of sleep that's recommended. And this is going to vary. Everybody is different. But for the most part, adults typically need anywhere from 7 to 9 hours of quality, emphasis on that, sleep per night for optimal health and functioning. If you're not getting enough sleep, it can lead to lots of different issues, obviously fatigue, impaired cognitive function. So you're not going to be able to recall things correctly. You're going to have a harder time coming up with words, and really just trying to formulate a thought is going to be a little bit more challenging. Brain fog, mood disturbances, and also decreased immune function. And I can tell you, I am pretty sure, I'm fairly certain that the last 2-3 times I've come down with like the cold or flu or even COVID, it was after a poor night's sleep. And not that the sleep caused that. I obviously was exposed to the virus, but my body wasn't able to handle that as well as it could have if I would have gotten a full night's sleep. And you might be the same too. You might notice that your immune system isn't working quite as well when you're not getting as much sleep. So it's really important for us to realize that prioritizing sleep by doing lots of things that we'll talk about today, creating a consistent bedtime routine, reducing exposure to screens before bedtime, and also creating a comfortable sleep environment, all of these things are going to help you to get that 7 to 9 hours of quality sleep per night. Now that's for adults. Your kids need a lot more sleep than that. And if you've ever had a newborn, you know they require a lot of sleep. So if just to go through a few different ages and their sleep, their recommended sleep requirements. So if you have a newborn, they're required to sleep about 14 to 17 hours of the day, and that's including naps, not like overnight. Infants, around 12 to 15 hours of sleep per day. Toddlers, 11 to 14 hours of sleep per day. Kids aged, 3 to 5, they're required to sleep about 10 to 13 hours per day. And then once they start getting to school age, they still actually need quite a bit of sleep. 9 to 12 hours of sleep per day is going to be appropriate for those school age children. So, and that can get really challenging, I know, with like sports and activities and things like that. But it's so incredibly important, especially during those growing years, that they're getting 9 to 12 hours of sleep a night. There's a lot going on, and they're exposed to a lot of different viruses and illnesses, bacteria, all those kinds of things at school. So, I mean, making sure that their immune system is in the best shape possible is going to be really important too. And then teenagers, they really need about 8 to 10 hours of sleep per night. Some maybe a little bit more, but that's going to be your general rule of thumb for teenagers too. Just to make sure that they're growing, they're developing, they're learning, and really just for overall health, they really need a lot more sleep than us adults do. And when we're chronically sleep deprived, whether it's, you know, adults or our kids, it can lead to a lot of negative consequences. So sleep deprivation is linked to increased risk of obesity, of diabetes, cardiovascular disease, mental health disorders like depression and anxiety. And in children, insufficient sleep can affect attention, the ability to be able to focus in school, behavioral changes. It can affect academic performance and then even physical health. And, you know, a lot of these things like obesity, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, mental health disease, and then in our kids, the attention, inability to keep their attention focused, their behavioral issues, and physical health. We're seeing so many of these in our culture today, in both adults and kids. And I think that a lot of it has to do with just we're overlooking the importance of sleep and undervaluing the importance of sleep. And it's, I don't know if it's because of, you know, social media or Netflix or let's just watch one more show or whatever it is, but we're just not getting the amount of sleep that we actually need. And so it's really important to make sure that we're prioritizing this. So how do we do that? Well, there are a few things that you can do to help support your body. I mean, for one, you know, it is important to, you do have to just kind of have the discipline to be able to, you know, turn off the Netflix show or put down your phone, or maybe don't read that last chapter if it's 11 o'clock and you have to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. So some of it is just going to take, you know, just a little bit of discipline, but there are things that you can do, like creating a sleep friendly environment, things that you can do in your bedroom that will help you to just kind of wind down and fall asleep a little easier and just really support restful and rejuvenating sleep. So in your room and then also in your kids' room too, lighting is going to be really important. So creating a dark environment. So you want to have like blackout curtains. You want it to be as dark as possible. If you can't do that, you could try using eye masks, but you really want to try to block out any external light sources. And then also noise, you want to try to minimize disruptive noises. So if you live on a busy street or if your house is loud, you can use white noise machines, earplugs, you know, just trying to maybe having everybody in the family kind of quiet down at a certain time of day. But having those two things in place can really help you just fall asleep a lot easier, stay asleep a lot easier too. Another thing is temperature. So maintaining a cool, comfortable room temperature. So ideally you want to be between like 60 and 67 degrees for optimal sleep. And then bedding is going to be really important too. So my husband and I just got a new comforter and we love the comforter. It's wonderful. It's soft. It's fluffy. But we both noticed like about a week in, we were like way, way, way overly hot. And I was waking up and like, I would be completely sweaty in the middle of the night. And then my husband was sleeping with the covers off of him all night. And we're like, oh, we can't do this. So making sure that, you know, if you're getting really hot at 2 o'clock in the morning, or you're having a hard time falling asleep because you have the comforter on you, get a different comforter. You can get certain, you know, pillows and mattress covers and different things that can really just help to maintain a comfortable environment, a comfortable, cool environment too. And even just making sure that your bedding is comfortable, that really helps too. So, you know, making sure that your pillow isn't too firm or too soft is going to be really important too. And you spend so much time in your bed. You really want to make sure that you have comfortable bedding that isn't holding in too much heat so that it really just helps to promote a restful sleep experience. Another thing is limiting screen time and electronics, which again, I know is really hard this day and age, but reducing your blue light exposure from electronic devices, so your phones, your tablets, computers, your TV, at least an hour before bedtime can greatly help you to get into that. Oh, like helps your brain just get into that. Oh, it's bedtime now. We can go ahead and start upping our body's natural melatonin by doing some of that. Maybe making sure we're not getting that blue light in our eyeballs. So about an hour before bedtime is when you want to start doing that. And if you do have to be on your phone, you can set it to like a night setting where it's not emitting that blue light, but it has kind of like an orange screen over it. So it's a little bit more reddish looking, but that can also help too. And then, you know, maybe creating like a screen-free zone in the bedroom to promote relaxation and just help to signal to the brain like, all right, it's time to sleep now, not time to, you know, don't pick up your phone right before you fall asleep. Just have the bedroom be a screen-free zone. Maybe have a little conversation before bed or read a book before bed, but try to stay off of the electronics before bed. That can really help too. And then having a bedtime routine, which, you know, I never really thought much of this until having kids. And then we did have a bedtime routine. We did the exact same thing every night just to help them get in the, like, okay, it's bedtime zone. And so we would do bath time and then read a book and then get a drink and then say a prayer and then we would go to bed. Oh, and sing a song, of course. And then they would go to bed. And it was like the same thing every night. And that really helped them to know, like, all right, sleep is coming. And again, just kind of signaling to the brain, like, okay, it's time to sleep. We're doing all of these things now that means it's time to sleep. It just helps everybody kind of wind down. But it's not just important for kids, it's important for adults too. And so, you know, maybe for us, it's not, you know, I'm not singing songs to my husband before bed. That might not be soothing him to sleep. Just the opposite, actually. But it can be, you know, like I've said, reading, maybe some gentle stretching. I like to take a bath, not right before bed because I don't want to heat up my body too much, but a couple hours before bed with some Epsom salts and lavender essential oil. And that really helps to just, again, kind of create that environment where my body is ready to sleep. So that those things can all help. Another thing is, and I think everybody really knows this one, but avoid consuming caffeine too close to bedtime. That can really interfere with sleep quality for some of us. I know some people can have caffeine right up until bedtime. I can't even imagine being able to do that, but I'm usually done by like 2 o'clock in the afternoon is about my limit for caffeine. And then I can go to bed pretty easily at, you know, 9 or 10. And then if you do have to eat closer to bedtime, just opt for a lighter, like easily digestible meal in the evening, just because you don't want to have, like, for a lot of reasons, but for, you know, purposes of this podcast, it's just not comfortable to go to bed with a full stomach. So trying to do whatever you can to have a lighter meal, if it has to be right before bedtime that you're eating, or just make sure, you know, you're eating a couple hours, at least 2 to 3 hours before going to bed. Another thing is soothing scents. I mentioned I will put lavender in my bath. If you're having a hard time falling asleep, lavender essential oil, chamomile essential oil, you can diffuse it in your room. You can get it in a little sprayer and spray it in your room, or, you know, take a bath with it, or even like a chamomile tea or a lavender tea. Those can really help too before bed. It helps to promote relaxation. It can enhance your sleep quality too. And then another thing, if you're really having a hard time falling asleep, you can also try like a weighted blanket too. That helps for a lot of people as well. And you can find those pretty inexpensively these days. And it's also, you know, important, like with all of these things, it's important to have some consistency. So consistency in what you do in your sleep schedule, that, you know, reminding your brain it's time for bed, but consistency in also like the time that you go to bed. So it's not really helpful for sleep for healthy sleep habits if you're going to bed at 11 o'clock one night and then 8 o'clock the next night and then 10 o'clock the next night and you're waking up willy-nilly too at all different times of the day. It's really the best for your brain and your circadian rhythm, which is like your body's internal clock. It's really the best when you can go to bed right around the same time and wake up right around the same time. These irregular sleep patterns can really disrupt your circadian rhythm, which can lead to difficulty falling asleep. It can also lead to waking up during the night. So if you're waking up a lot during the night, even just establishing that consistent bedtime and wake up time can be really beneficial. And then even just like feeling tired during the day, probably because you're not getting that great sleep and you're waking up a lot during the night. So having that consistent bedtime, whew, that is important. And then, you know, at the same time, and I am the worst for this, but it is really important to avoid oversleeping. So it is important, obviously, that you're getting enough sleep, but you also need to not like way oversleep on the weekends or try to catch up on the lost sleep. That can also disrupt your sleep-wake cycle. So again, just kind of aiming for that consistent sleep schedule throughout the entire week to maintain a healthy sleep routine. And it's really important for us adults. It's even more important for children, especially the younger ones. They thrive on consistent sleep schedules. And establishing that regular bedtime routine and consistent sleep schedule really helps children to feel secure and also just promotes that better sleep quality. And so, you know, and we want that good quality sleep because we're going to feel more rested, and we're going to have more rejuvenating sleep, which leads to better cognitive function, mood regulation, and overall just well-being. Like, we feel better during our waking hours. And then establishing those regular sleep patterns really helps to reduce sleep-related issues like insomnia, you know, waking up at night, daytime tiredness, super important. So you can use, you know, as you're trying to get into this new habit or pattern, if you are not very consistent, you can use alarms that kind of tell you like, all right, time to wind down, maybe an hour before bed, just to remind you, use an alarm to wake up at the same time, making sure to create that sleep friendly bedroom that promotes relaxation and restful sleep. And then, you know, just doing whatever you can to make sure that you're being consistent, you're in that cool, dark room, limiting that screen time. For kids, it's really important to encourage, like, and for us too, actually, encourage physical activity during the day for your kids, but also for yourself too. So regular physical activity during the day can help kids and us as well expend energy and promote better sleep at night. So especially if you can get them outside, early morning sun is actually really great for your sleep, your circadian rhythm as well. So getting outside, even if it's overcast, just getting outside and getting some fresh air, getting some sunlight can be really beneficial too for us and for kids. So another thing is limiting your sugar intake. So especially as you're getting close to bedtime, you know, if your kids are hungry, if they're hungry, go ahead and feed them. But if they're consistently hungry at night, I would look back at what they're eating for dinner. And the same thing for you too. So if you're consistently hungry at 8 o'clock at night and you go to bed at 9, what did you eat for dinner? What did you eat that day as a whole? Did you have enough protein at your meals? Did you have enough fat at your meals? Did you have enough fiber in, you know, those are your fruits and your vegetables and things like that? If not, the next day, make sure that you're getting enough. Make sure that your kids are eating enough of that. And that way you're not feeling like you have to feed them before bed, or they're not going to sleep well, or you don't feel like you have to feed yourself before bed, or you're not going to sleep well. If you're getting enough healthy fat and protein during the day, you shouldn't have to eat a snack before bed. So if you do, though, just make sure it's something nutritious, not sugary, something that's going to support a restful night's sleep. You know, a handful of walnuts can be really good for sleep too. And then also incorporating herbs can be really important too. So, you know, I mentioned chamomile and lavender. You can do that as essential oils. You diffuse it in an essential oil diffuser in the bedrooms. You could put it in a bathtub. You could also drink it as a tea too. All of those things can really just help kind of promote, again, that just healthy sleep habits. Remind your brain, like, it's time to wind down. It's time to calm down. So, and really just, I think the important thing to remember is that sleep is just so, again, so overlooked, but so incredibly important to our overall health, our ability to think straight and even regulate our own emotions. It's important to have that consistency, and then really just promoting those healthy sleep habits for kids, promoting those healthy sleep habits for ourselves, and then addressing those factors that might impact the sleep quality. So prioritizing sleep is really just it's one of the fundamentals. It's one of the fundamentals that I teach, just to make sure. I mean, it's just as important as nutrition. It's just as important as hydration. It's just as important as physical activity. Sleep, if sleep challenges are persistent, they will significantly impact your daily functioning. So, you know, if you've tried all these things and you've done, you know, you've gotten the relaxation in, your nutrition is on point, you're cutting out the caffeine early and not overdoing the sugar, it might be important to just seek professional guidance from a healthcare provider or a sleep specialist too, to try to dig a little bit deeper to find out what's going on. But I would definitely address these factors first. See, before you go get a medical evaluation, what is your room cold enough? Is it dark enough? Are you actually relaxed? Are you staring at screens before bed? you know, there are a lot of things that you can do before you have to go get a sleep study. But if you need a sleep study, by all means do that, because that can make a big, there could be an underlying issue that you need to get checked out too. So anyway, I hope that this was helpful. If you do have any questions, feel free to reach out. You can find me at Jenna Huff NTP on Instagram and Facebook as well. You can also find me at jennahuff.com, and you can send me a message that way too. But sleep is, like I said, one of my favorite things to talk about. And I just love to see the needle move for people once they start incorporating these habits that help promote restful sleep. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and join our community as we continue to explore ways to just support moms and families on their journey toward ultimate health and well-being. And stay tuned for future episodes. I have some really, really great interviews coming up. And just remember that healthy sleep habits are an essential foundation for a thriving life. So thank you so much for listening to the Healthy Mom Happy Home podcast. And we look forward to sharing more insights with you on your wellness journey. Have a good day.